Kevin Winder here, and I have a question for you. Who or what is God? You know, that used to be a loaded question, but now it sort of falls right off of us. You see, we either default into certainty or apathy, and frankly, neither of those get us much closer to the experience. In today's program, we're going to learn why this question, who or what is God, doesn't really work anymore, and why we need a new question. You see, the Apostle Paul has a way of getting at this question that invites all comers, regardless of what they believe. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look at Paul's discourse in Athens and discover that the unknown God resides within all of us. Join me, Kevin Winder, as we learn to see beyond everything. Kevin Winder here with Beyond Everything Radio, and I am so glad to be here. And thank you so much for tuning in to this very first broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. Hello, Denver. You know, I thought it might be helpful if I start today's program by introducing myself and sharing just a little bit about myself. The first thing you might find interesting about me is that I'm bivocational. And what that means is that I've ridden two horses, so to speak, in terms of my career. You know, for 25 years, I've served in church ministry. I've served as pastor, executive pastor, youth pastor, and many different roles within the church, and enjoyed quite a bit of it. But I've also, for the last 15 years, also served in the biotech world of human genetics, cancer diagnostic, and the sciences as a sales leader, a manager, a director, and business professional. And so I can tell you that these two very diverse worlds have given me an interesting perspective that I hope will shine through in these broadcasts for you. Another thing that you might find interesting is that for the last 5 years, I've been an online pastor. And, you know, I've changed the model from a brick and mortar model of church ministry into an online model of online pastoring and teaching. I'm an author, I'm an uncoach, as I like to say it, and a Bible teacher, and I've had a podcast for the last 2 years called the KevCast. And so what I'm doing here on the radio is, you know, I'm a big avid fan of Christian radio, but I can't help but hear it as FUBU so often. And FUBU just means it's for us, by us, which means it has a very inside-out approach. It's more of a didactic. It's somebody opening chapter and verse and telling you what it means and then telling you what to do. But I'm here with the goal of inviting believers and non-believers into the same conversation, and not just solely a didactic. That means it's two ways, and it's more outside-in than inside-out. This means that the framework for biblical instruction is not always what we're going to hear. It's more open-ended and inclusive. It may not be as directive and exclusive. But this allows us to begin with our present understanding, wherever it is, no matter how much we have, and move into a deeper experience. You know, everything has a backstory, and it's a backstory that we can't see at first. But soon, I hope we'll gain the eyes to see beyond everything. And that's enough for me today. Let's get on with today's program. You know, I grew up in a family that rarely mentioned God. My dad was somewhere between an atheist and an agnostic, and my mom, she might have attended a Lutheran church as a kid. And I'm pretty sure that it surprised them when at the age of 6 I decided I was going to, you know, go find God. I mean, who does that at age 6? But that quest, which was kind of a solo, all by myself, 6 a.m. excursion to a neighbor's house and oftentimes down the street to the local church, it really has become a lifelong journey down way more paths than I can list in here. And that lost boy within me has now grown up, and that quest, though, it still continues. And it's usually a form of burning questions, followed by some kind of searching, and followed by some form of consummation, and usually a good dose of disappointment. But I always wonder, what is it that causes people to pursue faith, to explore religion, to try and find God? And as science explores the God gene, I still wonder what activates this quest in people and not in others. I mean, I was so different from my sister and my brother, and yet we all kind of find our own way. And most of us sheeple, you like that term, half sheep, half people, you know, most of us sheeple, we just we just join the rank and file of the religion that our culture offers us. So if you're from the Middle East, you might have received Judaism or Islam. And if you're from the East, it might be Hinduism or Buddhism. And, you know, if you're from the West like us, it's probably Catholicism or some form of Christianity. You know, but the reality is we just join the rank and file and we just believe as we're told based on the culture. And for our modern world, let's face it, science has really become our default belief system. And most people just sort of do their own thing. You know, if you're not going to be engaging or involved with some kind of institutional religion or, you know, some kind of denomination, then the chances are pretty good, especially, man, as I know people. You're out there, you just kind of find your own way. You kind of relate to God in your own way. You come to terms with that and you do your own thing. And I really find that fascinating. And the diversity of the experiences means that the word God becomes kind of nebulous, if not meaningless. I mean, if I say dog, it doesn't possess the meaning that German Shepherd might, because I could be thinking of one type of dog and you're thinking of another. And so in our culture, we're left with this idea about God that is kind of meaningless, or at least nebulous. And my question is, are we just left to skim over the deep water that is our lives? I mean, is that all there is? Do we just find our way and hope it works out? Or we just trust the religion we were given as a culture? I mean, behind it all is this question, who or what is God? Who or what is God? And I know that as pastors and teachers and online educators, it's a fundamental question, but what really can be said about it? I mean, it's a question that everybody deals with. It's at a core of our humanity. We all form some type of theology. Now, even an atheist who says there is no God comes to those terms with that. I mean, I remember watching Bill Maher's movie, Religious, where he had a loved one he was going to try prayer on, and the result didn't come out like he thought it would. And as a result, he became an atheist and is to this day. But nonetheless, the way that he went about it, he ended up forming a theology, a belief about God. In his terms, it's atheism. And so there's something about this question, who or what is God, that is part and parcel to our humanity. Turns out theology and humanity are coextensive. I mean, John Calvin said, without the knowledge of the self, there is no knowledge of God. He said that in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. So, I mean, this is not an old idea. But you see, it's not enough to ask the question, who or what is God anymore? I mean, it's kind of tired and played out. And I think the reason for that is that in our postmodern world, those who have the answer are usually way too certain of their particular recipe. I mean, I've learned that God is way bigger than our theological categories and our frameworks and our dogmas. But, you know, when somebody is so certain about their framework for God, that zeal for God can sound like an infomercial. And I think the world kind of intuits when they're being sold a religion and not being offered God. I mean, I was that person for many, many, many years. And it's no wonder the world steps back. Most churches are simply playing Red Rover with the city and hoping somebody will come right over. And I think religion as a whole, culturally, has become the foster house for the homesick. You know what I mean? It's the seeker, the searcher, the person who has that deep thing within them that still has a hunger and a question. They turn to religion and it's not home. It's empty. For some of us, it's Hotel California. You know, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. And so I believe we need a new question beyond who or what is God. We need a new question. But to find it, you know, folks, we're going to have to get away from all of our formulas, our theories, and our dogmas. at least initially. I'm not saying we're not going to return to them. I'm just saying that the starting point need not be very rigid frameworks. And this is a really hard thing to do if you are deeply indoctrinated. I know that I certainly wouldn't have liked these words 10 years ago. But I want you to try something. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul and his approach to the God question. I think he's got something that's really good. And I want you to try and hear this story as if you don't know anything about God. Try and hear it through a lens of fresh eyes, where your formulas and dogmas and theologies and ideas and frameworks are not so prominent. Because what I hope to do over the next coming weeks is to let this passage recreate the structures and the theologies that we already possess. And so here it is. This comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17, 22 through 28. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, and just for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a rocky place outside of Athens. And, you know, Athens is where all the philosophers and the teachers would gather, and they would discuss these big things. I mean, think about Plato and so forth and all that. This is Paul speaking to them, and he says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious, for I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' And what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." You see, we need the new question. The new question is not concerned with what we know about God. The new question has to be concerned with how do we know it? You see, and here's my question. It may not be a very good one, and it might be a struggle for you to kind of connect the dots, at least at this early stage. But here's my option of a question, okay? Here it is. How am I experiencing this moment? How am I experiencing this moment? Now, that may seem totally different than what is God and not even in the same zip code. But I hope after you listen to the series that you come to a new place of understanding. You see, the question, what is God? It drives us outward, just like myself as a little boy. It took me on a quest, a seeking out into the world to find an answer. It drives us outward. And unfortunately, it drives us backward into a two-story narrative where religion controls the truth claims and makes the power plays, right? If you go on a quest for who or what is God and you look to religion, then you volunteer to be a recipient of the truth claims that those frameworks offer you. Now, the question, who am I? It gets us a little closer, doesn't it? And remember, like Calvin said, there is no knowledge of, without the knowledge of the self, there is no knowledge of God. And so it is a fair question to ask, who am I? But religion gets really nervous with that one. I mean, man, come on. So many people feel like, oh, now you're getting into New Age. Now it's secular humanism finding its way into the doctrine of the church, right? We don't have to fear the questions, folks. The questions are simply the questions. They're reflections of what's going on within our humanity. And so the new question, how am I experiencing this moment? It's a way of accessing our present inner awareness. And it's an inner awareness of that something more. It's that something more that we all intuit when we're standing at a graveside, when we're holding a baby's hand, when we're looking at a sunset, when we're having that moment where everything just seems right and good and perfect, right? We intuit that. It's part of our humanity. What is it? See, everyone gets it, but the problem is we tend to skim right over it as well. We don't follow it and go deeper. We either take the party line of religion and their rules and frameworks and just jump on board, or we just jettison it all together and say no one really knows and maybe it's not real anyway. So how can we go deeper with this undefinable thing? It's the unknowable, right? I mean, God is ultimately unknowable. Now, I would have really pushed back on that years and years ago because, you know, I believe that if scripture is anything, it's revelation, and therefore it's way God is revealing himself to us. And so I don't minimize that part at all. And what I'm saying is not that even in scripture, God is unknowable. I'm saying he's completely, in his totality, unknowable by our infinite mind. His ways are higher than our ways. He's so much further beyond us that we can't quite fathom all that is God. You see, how do we go deeper with the unknowable? What structure can possibly give us a nothing that we understand? You see, knowledge is great, and I love theology, and I love learning about God, but it's not the same as God. Knowledge is not experience. And you see, our knowledge and our experience, they have to expand each other. And I mean, certainly scripture reveals a lot that we can know about God, and it's a beautiful revelation of himself to humanity. But, you know, scripture is actually very vague about how we should know what we know. It doesn't give us an epistemology. It gives us data. It gives us historical facts. It gives us stories that point to something that's way beyond the thing itself. You see, like many people of faith, you know, I went on, after I got in my journey and I got into religion, I took that really innocent question, that longing, that quest of my childhood, that boyhood awakened heart, and I relearned everything. I put it all within the confines of my cognitive figure outer. You know, headspace is great, but it's not the only way to know something. You see, the Bible beckons us towards something much more intimate than simply data acquisition. The Bible wants us to know God, and the term is, it's that a husband would know his wife. The images that we're given are that of a wedding banquet and, you know, lovers. And so this is the language of love. And we need to understand that when it comes to God, love is the framework that we relate. And love in some way is unknowable, and yet it's unsearchable, and yet we know it when we see it because it's an experience. Now, I want to know, is that you? Is that you? Are you like I was? Do you just go for the data acquisition? Do you turn up Sunday after Sunday, or you turn into radio programs like this because you're just trying to learn more and more and more? If you are, that's good. That's a good thing. I'm not in any way diminishing your quest for discovery and self-discovery. But are you able to get at the thing beyond the thing? You see, do you take the information and marry it to inner experience? Are we being self-aware, or are we just kind of skimming through life, you know, barely coming to a sacred moment except for every now and then when something severe happens, or we get worried or scared, or we just remind ourselves, oh yeah, I forgot. I haven't even prayed in a couple days, right? Who is God? Who is God without this external descriptors that we're given by our frameworks? A good question is, who are we without our external descriptors and frameworks? I mean, When you ask a person who they are, oftentimes they look at their business card and it says CEO, or it says sales guy, or it says widget maker, or whatever it is. And we say that's who we are. We're defined by our job title. Really? Is that who we are? I mean, are we defined by our 401k? Are we defined by our W-2, by the artwork that we make? What is it that defines us? Who are we? You see, now these are the deep kind of existential questions that they really untie our moorings. You know, if you think of the imagery of a boat, this is where the postmodern questions like this really untie the boat from the shore. And the folks who come from a traditional place really get frustrated with this. But I think the questions are important, right? The questions cause us a little bit to drift into a sea of experience, right? I mean, if your experience is all in the head and you haven't really felt it, what are you becoming, right? I mean, the sea of experience and anecdote is where we're going to learn something about God. And let me tell you, this is ambiguity. Ambiguity is so uncomfortable for people who like rigid frameworks and structures. And you know what likes that the most? Our egos. Our egos can take all the information and divide it between good and bad, right and wrong, up or down, valid or invalid, and we get to control it. And when we control it, we feel empowered and we feel differentiated and we feel all those things that give us an identity. But that's not who we are either. We have to be careful of what our ego and our false self is telling us as we learn to learn who is God. What is God? Who am I? And so there's something about ambiguity and experience and anecdote that are metaphorical. Like life is very metaphorical for that which is beyond everything. And there's an anonymous writer who wrote a book hundreds of years ago called The Cloud of Unknowing. And man, if you haven't read it, dive into this. It is an amazing work of learning how to know the unknowable. And that is what this is all about. You see, this series is going to explore the framework of Paul, that passage that I read out of Acts 17. We're going to dive into that piece by piece. We're going to take some time and uncover Paul's alternative orthodoxy. And I use those terms on purpose because by comparison to what we're seeing in our churches and modern religion, this is radically different. He's doing something in the conversation about God that we are not doing, and we could learn from it. You see, the best theology is not solely a cognitive attestation to the ideas of our preferred team or cultural institutions. That's just religion. Paul points us to a living experience, and that experience is echoed and shared by those in history. It's shared by those in scripture. And this is something that is seen in and through and beyond everything. And so the new question invokes a theology for everybody. And right, everybody has to deal with this question. And thus everybody forms a theology. This changes everything. And it humbles us to learn that the altar of the unknown God is found in some measure within all of us. Do you relate to that? Is there an unknown God essence as part of who you are? I believe it's ground zero for the discovery of God and the discovery of ourself. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today. Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio. You know, making lasting change is really hard. And if you've tried but failed to change a habit or a compulsive behavior, then you know what I mean. And I want you to know you're in good company. In my book, Getting Better When You Can't, I deconstruct the mechanics of behavior. And so when your willpower or motivation or inspiration isn't enough, or when therapy, brain science, or religious guilt just didn't cut it, why not try wisdom? I offer a centuries-old approach to personal change that was 10 years in the making from countless hours of coaching. Go and get Getting Better When You Can't. Get it today. You can download it immediately on iBooks or Kindle if you want. Or if you'd like a hard copy or the audio CD, just get it from my website at kevinwinder.com. Look for Getting Better When You Can't.